Hey, we're here.
Woo!
We made it.
We made it. We were a little bit later getting through the door, and then the computer, whatever.
Malfunctioned.
Or it's function or malfunction.
It's the computer, I swear. All right. So, welcome to Growing with NTI. It's just Connie and Jacqueline tonight. I almost said it's just Connie and Tom.
All right, so you can't pay attention to what she says tonight.
You know, Tom is running some errands. We're going to be running some errands, so he couldn't join us. So, welcome to Growing with NTI. Connie's going to say the prayer tonight. She didn't know until just now, but she is.
Okay. Thank you, God. Thank you for the fact that I'm starting to recognize some of these truths that are being taught. I am so grateful. I'm so happy. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. That was very sweet. Remind me of Miss Porter again.
Tell the story of the folks.
I've told it several times. I'm sure they've heard it. The little old lady that we used to visit in the hospital, and all I could think of to say in prayer was, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And my husband could really say a prayer, and she said, well, you're not much about that prayer, but your husband, he sure can pray. Anyway, but it's perfect. It's perfect. What more needs to be said than thank you? Yeah. It's all about the gratitude.
And the compassion.
Hey, Marge.
Hey, Mom.
And Debbie and Ann and Debbie. Kathy and Cheryl and Dove.
Oh, man. Big crowd.
That's right.
Put on your best behavior.
My best behavior. All right. So,
I have marked Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 12.
Beginning
17 through 21.
That's correct. Okay, good. And that is page 278 of the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And we'll just start here. Here we go. This is the awareness you are to keep as an expression of your willingness to remember with me. The part you know is but a part of a whole that is the truth of what you are. The parts you see are but a part of the wholeness of love that is me. To love your brother is to love your truth. To care for him is to open your heart to the whole. And when the heart is open, wholeness is welcomed in, and in its welcoming, its truth is remembered.
Very nice.
Yeah, when I read that, it's curious. You know, I think we read that last week, but we decided to back up, you know, a line or two and read this again. And so it's interesting that I don't even think I saw this passage quite this way last week. It talks about when the heart is open, and you know, you hear tell of folks having a heart-opening experience. For example, I've heard Regina talk about, like, I think, being in meditation or in some state and then just feeling her, just, you know, like the chakras that they talk about, and just feeling the heart chakra, I guess, open.
I've certainly had that experience.
Well, and I was just thinking about this recently because when we went to India last year, that was my prayer, is that I would, because I hadn't, to my knowledge, hadn't really experienced that, you know. I want my heart chakra to open, damn it.
Open up, Opo.
And then actually I think that I think that that's the experience that I had when I was at that first Enlightenment intensive in September, was just that, yeah, just that burst of life, you know, kind of blew that wide open. So let me read it. I just think it's interesting the words that are used. So let me just read that last part. To love your brother is to love your truth. To care for him is to open your heart to the whole. And when the heart is open, wholeness is welcomed in. And in its welcoming, its truth is remembered. And so you guys may recall that I talked about that experience that I had at that Enlightenment intensive, and about how it was my experience that openness, that energy that's allowed to flow, is the truth of who we are. And that what ego does is it puts down these barriers or these gates or these walls, right? That, you know, this limitation, when, you know, which is the whole separation process, you know. You know, I'm different from her because, and I'm different from him because, and I need this way, and I'm a mother, and I'm a, you know, a teacher, I'm a judge, whatever it is, right? And that those things keep that energy of who we are from flowing, right? The truth of who we are from flowing. And when you're actually joined with your brother, that's what's going on is, I mean, the true joining is this flow of energy, and energy is a euphemism, of course, but this flow of life between us and around us and among us, and, you know, it's what we are. It's this unimpeded flow. So it's cool to hear this say, and when the heart is open, wholeness is welcomed in, right? I'm no longer putting up those barriers, you know, closing those gates, building those walls, right? I'm no longer a prisoner of the own limitations that I would put on myself, but in conjunction with my brother, which is the rest of me, right? The rest of us, the rest of oneness, then I'm able to experience the wholeness. I'm no longer putting up those gates, and wholeness is welcomed in. So and that was exactly my experience, is when I refrained from creating those barriers, I experienced the truth of who I am, and that's the wholeness.
Yeah, and I was coming to it from a little bit different perspective, but it's the same one, where it starts off with the, it says, the part you know is but a part. You know, and once again, this is our call for forgiveness, because we only know a part. We don't know the whole story. And not that there needs to be a story at all, because it's a falsity anyway, but, you know, only the whole, it's been said that only the Holy Spirit has the whole story. It has the wholeness of any given situation, right? It knows, you know, it knows all the characters, it knows all the extenuating circumstances, and because, you know, the universe is inherently good, we take this little thing and go, well, she didn't call me. She wasn't there when she said she was going to be there. You know, we only know it from our little limited, you only know but a part, is what it says, of the whole that's the truth of what you are. The parts you see are but a part of the wholeness of love, and you had that experience of that, where you stepped outside of those boundaries and that sort of thing. And for me, I don't want to say an admonishment, but you know, when you get ready to judge, think about that. You only know a part of this scenario. How could you judge it? So I applaud you for having the actual experience of that, and would say that's something that all of us could have. And any there's a number of ways that we can limit that.
Yeah.
And the whole forgiveness thing is supposed to be the step around that.
Right. Right. And you know, this brings us back to the loving all, loving what is, right? Because it's our limitations that our self-imposed limitations, our beliefs in who we are, that makes us think that something should be different. Because we are only seeing from our from our part, and the truth is, it's all perfect.
Right. Right. Yeah. So you talk about faith. That's what we're saying. If you could have faith in that, then and maybe even vigilance in that, then you could step through it and have the experience that you had, where there is no limitations and you're a part of everything, and there's, you know, your heart just fills with that wholeness and that abundance and that gratitude.
Okay. Blessings to you as you move in the world in willingness, for that is but a symbol of the opening of the mind. An open mind is not closed, so the light that is fullness of truth may be realized.
Yeah, willing to, and I guess that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a willingness. And it is a willingness until you have that experience, or until you consistently have that experience. You have to be willing to say, oh, I'm only seeing this from a limited perspective.
Right. Hey, Connie. Not you. You're like, I'm right here.
What?
Connie Fraser. Hey, Connie.
Hey, Connie.
All right. NTI, that takes us to NTI Romans chapter 13, page 279 of NTI. You are not in the world. I have told you this already.
Dummy.
But you do experience the world, because you designed the world as an experience. The world is an image in the mind, or better said, a picture thought within the thought of spirit. It is an experience because it was designed as an experience, but it is not your reality. It is within you.
It's not real, folks.
Yeah, and I made a note here in the margins, not within Jacqueline, not within the false self, right? I mean, it's like it's all occurring, and I seem to be hearing this in various places, most recently Eckhart Tolle. It's the whole universe is within you, the truth of who you are. It's all, it would have to be, right? If there's only oneness, you are the one mind. Everything that appears to happen, occur, be, would be within the one mind, right? I mean,
right.
It's what's outside of the one mind.
Right, but I don't know if there's any experience.
Where would it occur if there's only one thing? In the space outside the one thing? Wait, we said there's only one thing, right?
Yeah, so I don't know if there's any experience at all. There's just isness. But I don't know that's relevant to the discussion here.
Yeah, well, are you having an experience?
I seem to be.
Exactly. That's all it's talking about. It's like the whole point is, again, you know, and various people say it in various ways. Who comes to mind is Bryn Haskell, who talks about, you know, just, it's like, you know, going out to play, right? Send the kids out to play. It's an experience that that the one mind chose to go, oh, let's see what it would be like if there were a perceiver and a perceived, a subject and an object. Because I'm tired of just sitting here going zzz and isn't, or whatever isness does, right?
Yeah, and that was the original break.
That was the, right.
Because I am tired of is.
Right. So the experience still occurs within that one mind.
One separated mind.
Right.
Right.
Right. Everything that seems to be true about the world is a part of the experience you deemed to have. Yeah, by the way, Connie notes, Connie Fraser notes, it's an experience, but it's a false experience. It's very real as an experience, but it's a false experience. Everything that seems to be true about the world is a part of the experience you deemed to have. In this way, none of it is to be rejected.
I think that's what Connie's saying.
Right. And let me finish reading this paragraph, and then I imagine this I have something to say. But it says, in this way, none of it is to be rejected. For to reject an experience that you asked to have is to not... is to deny that you are the designer of the experience. This is to deny your truth. And this is what we were just talking about with Mary Reed. It seems like I mention her at least once a week when we're in this this hour. But again, we were talking about not rejecting, you know, like experiencing anger, not rejecting that, right? But to realize that that's part of the experience, right? Mary Reed talked about her experience where she saw this little this tight little ball in the universe of hatred and fear and rejection and all these seemingly negative things, and she asked the universe, you know, if love is all there is, why is it that we can't get rid of this, eradicate this fear and hate and, yeah, all this awful stuff? And it came to her to understand that it's not eradicated by rejection, which is what we tend to do as humans, but it's about, it disappears into the embrace of love. And again, that takes us back to this loving all method, right? It's like, this is the experience that we deem to have, and therefore to banish part of that experience is to reject the experience that we came to have, which is you know, just a reinforcement of the guilt and the I am bad and all of that.
Yeah, I remember at the academy they used to say, I hate the world now. And some of the folks there did, and it just always occurred to me, yeah, hating anything can't be the way out of it.
Right.
So that's that whole course saying, resist not evil.
Right, because to do that is to
reject it.
Yeah. And Dove notes that fear is removed by removing belief of separation and differences. Yeah.
Thank you, Dove.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of withdrawing denying the denial of truth, the Course would say, right? And that's what I was going to say a minute ago, is that to reject it is to just say, oh, you know, that's something solid, that's something real, that's something that needs to be banished or rejected, right? That's something that could be in opposition to love. And the truth of it is, no, there's nothing in opposition to love. Right. That's the truth of it.
Cool.
Okay. Romans chapter 13, verses 6 and 7. This is how you are to look at the world, as an experience that you set up for your learning. Live through the experience, observing what it is, and you will see what you came to learn. You will see that the truth is perfect, and your true desire is your home. Your thought was just an idea, and you will easily relinquish the idea for the truth, and you will be grateful that the truth is always true.
Hello, you've been selected to participate.
This is how you are to live your experience, remembering that it isn't true. But remember that it is an experience chosen for learning, and let your brother live his experience as he chooses. forget not his truth. Be grateful for it. Love his truth, which is also you. But grant him his experience and love him for that as well. He is learning what you have come here to learn.
Yeah, stop making everybody wrong. because this is why. Because we need to have our own experience.
Yeah. And it's... I still got that written up here. Gosh, I don't even know where that came from. I think it's a Nisargadatta Maharaj. And it says, in reality, each experience has its own experiencer. So, you know, we're just these little vehicles running around. And consciousness peeps out of my eyes, and then it peeps out of Connie's eyes, and it peeps out of Dove's eyes, and it peeps out of Ann's eyes, and it peeps out of Kathy's eyes. But it's consciousness, right? And consciousness is undivided. So it's not like, you know, we at one time, I'm thinking of a cartoon, I've got a cartoon image, but it's not like at one time we separated and then we're going to go and come back together, right? It's really consciousness peeking out through each of these seeming separate bodies. So to look at your brother and say, oh, he's messing up, is to solidify that experience, as opposed to loving what is and going, cool, consciousness, all that is having this experience. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Grant him his experience and love him for that as well. He is learning what you've come here to learn. Look on the world and remember that what you have learned, look on the world and remember what you have learned, even as the experience seems to continue. Remember your place, which is to accept your lesson now and be grateful that you see as you see.
Yeah, and a lot of times my experiences, I feel like some of my insights come as hindsights. Oh. That's what that was about.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You can stay in the world at the end of your learning to show your brothers what you've learned, but you are teaching no one except yourself and taking time to accept what you know. When you have learned the lesson, you will let go of illusion because you will have no need for it anymore. Until then, remember, everything you do for yourself. And then learn what you have come to learn. It is your lesson, designed and given for you.
And I tell you, sometimes I feel like I'm really on the verge of learning this lesson, you know, just to just let her have it that way. Let her see it that way. What difference does it make to you? Oh my God, you think you're right? You're probably not right, and now you're interjecting your thought. Stop it. Your life be so much easier. The truth is so much closer to just not be managing anybody else's life at all.
Yeah, because the truth of that is if we're trying to manage somebody else, show how we're right, we're building up, we're reinforcing this belief that we're separate.
Yeah.
No matter what it looks like. I mean, so what? You're right. Yeah. Oh, good. Now you get to be separate and right, right?
Yeah.
Now, right? Separate, lonely, forsaken, limited, and right.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You were going to say?
No. Just separate. I could be right and... could be wrong in separate, and I'm right in separate. So, so what the hell, what, right?
Right. And further down the rabbit, yeah. down the rabbit hole, right?
Exactly.
And it's a waste of time, Kathy
yes.
notes.
Thank you.
Connie notes, would you rather be right or be happy?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's amazing that you'd have to, like, this is my I am bad thought, I guess, that you have to be my age before you come into this as a recognition of, oh, my God, just let it fucking go. I mean, just let it go.
Blip, bleep, zeep.
Let it go.
Well, you know, I think that there's no, I mean, certainly there are some young folks who turn to inner wisdom and spirituality, and but I don't think it's any mistake that this path is pretty crowded with us old folk. I think that, you know, we try out, oh, this experience will complete me. This experience will make me lovable. This experience will, you know, this is the one, right? And so, you know, I've done that for 56 years. You've done it for
never mind.
55 years.
There you go.
You know, right? But, so I don't think it's any surprise that you, you know, you turn over enough rocks and all you see are bottom of the rocks, right? You turn over enough of them and you go, okay, there's got to be something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop making everybody else wrong.
Let's see. Okay. NTI Romans chapter 14. Bottom of page 280. Judgment is the tool of illusion. And judgment was first used against an idea and against yourself. From that, judgment seemed to spread with illusion. But since all illusion is within the mind, judgment could not spread anyplace else.
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, and we talked about that. You know, we talked, we read, I don't know if it was in Romans or not, I think it was the beginning of this chapter, not this chapter, Romans, where we talked about the tiny man idea and how the first judgment was the judgment that, we've really screwed it up now, right? Where we believed that we had, in fact, made ourselves separate, right? And then we judged ourselves as bad for that. And then we judged that. And then we judged that. And that. And again, that led us all the way down.
Yeah, to where we, to the end of chapter 13, where it says, you know, stop judging your brother.
Right. And right now we're winding back up, right?
Right.
So it's like, yeah, and not unlike A Course in Miracles, it's saying, look, it's the problem, so let's look at judgment a little bit.
Yeah.
Whenever you seem to judge anything, any situation, or any person that seems external to yourself, you are judging an illusion of thoughts and ideas within the mind. So we're recreating that tiny man idea all the time. Right? The one that said, oh, we're separate and we're bad, right? Oh, we actually did do something
yeah,
wrong.
And that's where we started this whole thing off, when we were saying, you can only see part of it anyway. So starting right there, you don't have everything necessary to judge. And then the next thing it said was, let your brother have his own experience.
Yeah, because that's all we want. Because it was a simple little game we wanted to play.
Yeah.
What would it be like to have a subject and object?
Yeah.
Perceiver and a perceived. A knower and a known. Yeah. So, whenever you seem to judge anything, any situation or any person that seems external to yourself, you are judging an illusion of thoughts and ideas, an illusion of thoughts and ideas within the mind. Therefore, you are continually judging yourself. You know, continually doing that we were just talking about. Since judgment is the building block of illusion, applying false meaning and making illusion real, judgment of yourself does this to you. It hides your truth and presents an illusion of you that isn't true. Yeah, and again, let's see, Kathy says, judgment is the weapon I would use against myself to keep the miracle away. Yeah. Yeah, and again, we talked a while ago about, you know, just solidifying the illusion, you know.
Yeah, and you do that through judgment.
You do that through judgment. You make it seemingly real. It's at least real.
Because I put it outside of myself and said, okay, this is outside of myself, so the separation must be real.
Right, exactly. Each time you seem to judge someone or something, you are judging thoughts in your mind, thereby judging yourself. In believing your judgments, you believe you are what you are not. This is how your illusory self is made and upheld.
Yeah. Reinforcement.
Yeah. To know yourself, that's with the capital S, to know yourself, which is your true desire, you must lay judgment aside.
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Remember that everything you experience, every person, every place and circumstance, is a thought within the mind of you. And each judgment keeps the veil of illusion alive, which hides, capital YU, from lowercase YU. So let me read it again. And each judgment keeps the veil of illusion alive, which hides you from you. Also, remember that nothing is as it seems.
And there's the second forgiveness lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How can you judge it if nothing is as it seems?
Right. It is within the mind of you, thought up by you, for the purpose of having an experience. In that way, the only judgment that can be applied is that it is what it is.
Yeah.
The experience is the experience it was made to be. It is the perfect reflection of a wish. It is everything you asked to see. In this way, you may be grateful for everything you have made. You asked a question. We know the question, right?
You asked a question, you got an answer, and now you're mad about it. That's judgment. If you ask a question, got an answer, and you're grateful for it, that's forgiveness.
Yep, that's it. Can I, folks? No. Yes, in this way, you may be grateful for everything you have made. You asked a question and you have discovered the answer. In itself, the answer to the question is perfect. And again, the question, I think, is formulated in the NTI, is what would it be like if everything were different than it is? This is the answer. You're experiencing that answer. Answer. You said now you're aggravated about it. Now you don't like the answer. Okay.
Yeah.
Calm down. It's an illusion. You asked for this experience. We're just showing you. This is what it would be like. This is just being shown you. This is what it would be like. So let it be. So have the experience.
And
let it be what it is.
And let your brother have their experience.
And let your brother have their experience. Rejoice when you look on the world, for it is the answer to the question you asked. And now you have your answer. You need not ask the question anymore. You need no longer be puzzled. You need not judge and apply meaning to the meaningless. You may put your curiosity to rest. You do not want love different than it is. For as it is love, and love
is all you truly want.
And now you see. Now you may let go of your attachment to illusion. You may let go of expression of self-will. You may surrender any hidden wish to see differently. The answer that you asked for has been given. You know, I just got an image of a scientist performing an experiment and being mad at the results. You know,
yeah.
You know, it's like, it makes no sense. You wanted to know what it was like. This is it.
Yeah.
You wanted to see when you mix A plus B. This
yeah.
is it, right?
And this is the lesson that the simplistic lesson of Byron Katie is, don't get mad at reality.
Yeah, it's pointless.
Yeah, it's pointless.
You're creating your own suffering.
It's like getting mad when the sun comes up.
Right. Daggone it, that sun's up again.
Yeah, this is the experience that you created. Why would you be mad about it? Yeah. Why would you be mad that your daughter went off and did whatever? That's the reality of it.
Yeah, and to do anything different is to, you know, it's to put blinders over your own eyes, put your hands over your own eyes, and you know, because you know what the reality is. It's to dig yourself deeper into the illusion.
Yeah.
It's to go, oh, this must be real.
Then that's why you resist not evil or your perspective of evil, which is something you don't like.
Right. Now you may let go of your attachment to illusion. You may let go of expression of self-will. You may surrender any hidden wish to see differently. The answer that you asked for has been given. Be grateful for the answer. Surrender to it for what it is. It is not what you want. It is not what you want. It is only what you want to see. And now that you've seen it, its purpose is done. And I got to tell you, to go back to that experience that I had in September, there was the other part of that experience was this unspeakable joy at the fact that experience was happening. You know, just the gratitude for experience and for the potentiality of all things. I mean, that thing that is, you know, it's not a thing, of course, but that flow, that isness that is, the truth of who we are, is absolutely celebrating it every second, every iota of experience. It is going, oh, experience is so cool. I love it. Right, and so
that's a human being trying to recreate joy,
and so the little vehicles that we are, right, are going rah, 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 rah. I don't like the way this is going, and I don't like the way this is going, but the truth of who we are is going, yay, experience, this is great.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if we want to know the truth of who we are, we need to move in that direction.
Right.
Yay. This is.
Yeah. And I think that's what this whole chapter has been about is. Yeah. Here's the good reasons for giving up your judgment.
Again, because you're only creating your own suffering, because there's nothing real going on here. Nobody's really suffering.
Right.
Right. And it's you invest it's keeping, your belief in
it. It's keeping
it.
You from your joy. It's keeping your brother from having his own experience. And what do we start off with? There was one other thing. You don't have the whole story anyway. No, things aren't as they seem.
Things aren't as they seem. Yeah. Exactly. Now that your attachment is released and your question has been answered, you can let go of the illusion you do not need. That is what you are doing now. You are letting go of what you no longer have purpose for.
Thank God.
Letting go of illusion is a glorious occasion.
I think so.
Celebrate that your lesson has been learned.
I do.
As illusion presents itself within the mind that you are, smile at it, remembering the purpose that it had, and let it pass by realizing it has no purpose for you now. It has served its purpose for you. You do not want what you thought you might want. You want all God has given you instead. And it's like remaining on the tilt-a-whirl after the ride has stopped. Right now, I'll sit right here. Right? I mean, you can look back on it and go, wow, wasn't that fun? Right? And be done with it. When the illusion seems real within the mind that you are, do not fear your experience. Remember that its quote-unquote reality is a statement of your truth. And rejoice that you are reclaiming your truth again. In knowing yourself, you know love without division. For the wholeness of love is the wholeness and fullness of you. Interesting. I'm going to read those first two sentences. When the illusion seems real within the mind that you are, do not fear your experience. Remember that its reality is a statement of your truth. And rejoice that you're reclaiming your truth again. And this is talking about, you know, what enlivens the experience. I mean, it's not seemingly two-dimensional, right? It's like what breathes life into the illusion, and what breathes life into the illusion is the thought within the one mind. It's like it's a manifestation of its source. All of this world is a manifestation of its source, right? And its source is the truth of what you are. So it's talking about rejoicing for your ability to go, hey, I wonder what this would be like, and then have that experience.
Right. Yeah. And to me, it's kind of like, you know, stop giving yourself a hard time because you're 60-some-odd years old and just now getting it. You had the experience. You asked for it. You had it. Okay. You had it. Great. Celebrate that. Now what?
Yeah. Which is the whole prodigal son story, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you did that. Come on back. Let's kill the fatted calf, right?
Okay. All right. Thank you. How sweet.
Kathy asks, where is my attention focused? Yeah, is it? And Regina talked about it the other day. I think it was in Seven Steps. She talked about this as the breath of God. As the inhale and the exhale, the breath of God, quote-unquote God, the inhale and the exhale, right? It's the breathing out is the experimentation, the experience, the desire to have the experience, and the inhale is the call home. Okay, it's time to come home, right? It just is, you know? There's no bad in it. There's no blame in it. It just is. It was what we chose to do. Come on home. The point being, what sent me off on that was, where's my attention focused? Is my attention focused still on the exhale? Or have I turned to face the inhale, right? Have I turned to walk home, to be breathed back in by source?
Cool. Now that you see.
NTI Romans chapter 15, page 282. Now that you see, I ask for your help. You can be used by me for the healing of the mind if you're willing. In order to be most helpful, you must be willing to lay yourself aside. For you can only be helpful to me when you are under my direction, and I can only direct you when you are willing to surrender to me. Everything is up to you. You are the free Son of God. Nothing can be coerced upon you, nor is it my will to ask anything of you that you do not want to give. But if you are willing to give yourself to me for my use, I will make you useful to the healing of the mind. Through your surrender, we are made one, even within the illusion of division. Through your surrender, our heart is combined, and you shall know me through yourself. You do not see yourself as me yet, which means that you see with the eyes of illusion. But with understanding and willingness and your complete surrender, you shall see me as you. We shall be known as one in your awareness. And where we are joined, all are joined in love. So you shall know oneness, and you shall be divorced from the image of division forever.
This reminds me of, and I've read this in a couple different books, or seen them in a couple different movies. I'm not sure which, but for example, in Tom Carpenter's book, what was that? It was a Dialogue on Awakening. He starts off sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus is talking to him and teaching him, and then he's on the bench with him, and by the time he gets through the book, he is him.
Right. Yeah, of course, Regina would talk about... Oh, hello. Regina talked about this. That's loud, my notifications. Talked about this in the general healing, about, you know, the merger, right? Yeah. Yeah, and certainly NTI talks about that, and along about Hebrews it goes, by the way. There's nobody else coming. It's you, buddy. Yeah, and so it's saying even as we seem to be walking around with a separate body, with a separate will, a separate mind, the truth is that we're one, and we can see the truth of that even as we continue to walk around in these seemingly separate bodies.
Yeah, because you can, partly because, at least, what you were talking about before, of consciousness peeking out from other eyes. And as you were able to recognize it as conscious awareness, the reason you can recognize it is because it's you.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Laying down your will is important to your service to me, for your illusory will is not my will. Your illusory will is your desire to have things different. Right? The recreation over and over and over and over of this tiny mad idea. What if things were different than they are?
Right. And just keep living that and reliving that and reliving that, and wanting your brother to be different than he is, and mad when it's not. Oh my God.
Yeah, and we do it thousands of times a day.
Yeah, and even when you think that you're past that, you go, gosh, well, why aren't you happy about that? Because I wanted something to be different than it was.
Right. Yeah.
Or somebody, most likely.
And somebody, yeah. Your illusory will is your desire to have things your way. But if you look at the world and remember that it is the expression of your illusory will, you will again remember to return to your true will, which is the same as mine. In surrendering to me, you surrender to yourself. In this realization, you are swept with peace and joy. For your true will is your true desire. And in its recognition, you find your gratitude to yourself.
Yeah, you know, and in the course, early in the course, it says something like, what you'll really discover is that your brother's interests and yours are the same. And that's what this is saying, you know. Your true desire is to know the love that is you and your brother, which is really just you, is just really just oneness.
Yeah.
And that is the true desire. It's to know that oneness. It's to know that love. It's to know that joy of that oneness.
We're all tired of the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Even the ones of us that still think there's something to judge, that mean you're not tired of it. You just don't know that there's an alternative.
Right.
And we're just fortunate enough that we become aware that there is an alternative. That's all. That's the only difference between me and anybody. Is I've come to the recognition that it doesn't have to be this way.
Yeah, you're the prodigal son who goes, hell, even the pigs are eating better than I am. Maybe I ought to go home.
Yeah. Or the same recognition that Helen and Bill did. There has to be a better way.
Yeah.
And the better way is not that anything not that anything is going to change in form. It may or may not, but that's irrelevant. It's a changing of my mind. And
yeah.
Being okay with that.
Yeah.
Being more than okay with that. Being grateful for that.
Pray then for your own end. Kind of like that one.
Okay. You underline that one.
Pray to your Father with willingness to let go of thy illusory self. It is nothing to you, and it keeps you from the realization of your truth. I'm going to read that paragraph again. Pray then for your own end. Pray to your Father with willingness to let go of thy illusory self. It is nothing to you, and it keeps you from the realization of your truth. And the truth of it is not only nothing to you, it is nothing. It is nothing. Which is why we ask the question, why, you know, Ramana Maharshi teaches what Ramana, or taught what Ramana Maharshi teaches, which is to look at, you know, who am I, right? It's to look directly at that illusory self, and what you'll find is it is indeed illusory. It's nothing to you. And the clinging to it is the, and the supporting of it and the judgments that support it are the building of the blocks, you know, that we talked about earlier, to the fences that we put down in the flow of the life that we are, of the truth that we are. It blocks that flow, seemingly. It blocks our recognition of the flow. It blocks our ability to experience the oneness that we are. So we hang on to these little, oh no, I'm a good person, or I'm pretty, or I'm smart, or I never get my way. Everybody's always picking on me, right? I mean, we draw these limitations and we grip them with a death grip, right? And it's like, number one, it's all an illusion. Number two, it's not doing anything for you. Number three, it's only blocking you from experiencing the gratitude and the unending potential and the all the things that we talked about before in that experience, the absolute celebration of experience. It keeps you from all of that by claiming in this little bitty thing that I think I am. Keeps you from experiencing the truth of who you are, which right. is all that grandeur.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of one of the things that Dad said towards towards the end of his life, he said, you know, we're nothing without our spirituality. I mean, what is there? What is there? Like you're saying, is it good looks? How far does that get you? Right? Is it a really good mind? You know, maybe it might make it seem like it's a little bit better place, but it gets you nothing. None of this gets you anywhere. The only thing that really gets you anywhere is this truth. And thank God, I'm on the path of recognizing this truth. I'm about this experience, not about the experience of wanting to have better looks or about the experience of, you know, because they pale.
Everything pales in comparison. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like we're out of time. Shall I read these last two paragraphs?
Yeah. I'll shut up.
Do not fear the passing of this self you call home. It is not your home, and you do not belong there within your awareness. Your awareness belongs with me. I see your true self, and I am waiting here with you to share yourself with you. Blessings in your prayers for willingness. Do not take your prayers lightly. They are your energy which feeds your strength. Through them, your truth shall be known. Sweet, 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 sweet. Okay, guys. it's been fun.
Thank you. Thanks for letting us read this and exclaim over this and make the same points again and again. But sometimes it takes me that to get to know it.
we love you guys, and we'll see you here next week.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.